Welcome to Not That Girl Anymore, part of the Liminal Network. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon. This is more than a podcast. It's a sisterhood. We're reclaiming our voices, our worth, and our lives, one story, one truth, one brave step at a time.
Hey, friends. Welcome back to Not That Girl Anymore. I'm your host, Dawn Bouillon, trauma therapist and coach, and the founder here of Embrace Your Brave. And today's episode just feels a little tender, and maybe a little sacred too, because I know for some of you, just seeing the title of this episode may have brought a lump in your throat before I even said a word. Because we're talking about mothers today. And for some of you, that word doesn't feel warm. It doesn't feel comforting. It doesn't feel safe. Because I know for some of you, you've spent years, maybe decades, trying to make sense of a relationship that never felt quite right. And you've spent most of your life wondering if somehow you were the problem. And I just want to say this as clearly and gently as I can. If the person who was supposed to nurture you and protect you and help you feel safe became someone that you had to survive, then that matters. If one phone call or text can send you into guilt or panic or confusion or shame, even if you're a full-grown adult, but the second you see that she's disappointed in you, you feel like you're 12 years old again. Maybe your body tightens up when her name comes up. Maybe you leave interactions with her feeling smaller or foggier or ashamed or like how somehow everything is your fault. That's not nothing. And listen, we're not here to bash mothers. We're not here to pretend that mothers are supposed to be perfect or give them a diagnosis or anything. We're here to talk about the truth and the impact. Okay? This is about the mother wound and what happens when the person who was supposed to be safe for you wasn't. And I'm not talking about all mothers, right? Some mothers were wounded. Some were emotionally immature. Some truly did the best they could with what they had. That's true for some mothers. And some mothers were abusive. And some were manipulative and controlling and deeply unsafe. And some humiliated their children. And some used guilt and fear and religion and money and emotional chaos to keep control. And some mothers protected abusers instead of protecting you. And some mothers became the abusers themselves. And if that's your story, that matters. And maybe it's time that we stop minimizing it. Maybe it's time that we stop calling abuse love. And maybe it's time that we stop explaining away this behavior that wounded you. And maybe it's time we stop making you responsible for protecting someone else's image while your own pain goes unnamed, unacknowledged, unhealed. And maybe it's time that we stop asking you to abandon yourself in order to keep the peace. Because healing requires honesty. And for some of you, honesty might sound like finally telling the truth, to say, that hurt me, and that shaped me, and I didn't deserve that. And maybe I don't have to carry it alone anymore. And one of the reasons I think that this can be so hard to see is because we are wired to need our mothers, right? As children, we don't have the luxury of just stepping back and saying, something's wrong here. No, we need them. We love them. And we long for them to love us back in ways that feel safe and steady and real. So when a mother is manipulative or shaming, controlling or emotionally unavailable or abusive. A child doesn't just think, oh, this is abuse. This is wrong. They often think, there must be something wrong with me. It must be me. Maybe I'm too sensitive. Maybe I'm being selfish. Maybe I'm being dramatic. Maybe I expect too much. Maybe if I could just be easier or quieter or smarter or more helpful or less emotional, maybe then she would love me the way that I need. And that is such a heartbreaking place to live. Because many children don't grow up knowing they were abused. They grew up believing that they're just hard to love. And I know that some of you know exactly what that feels like. To spend years trying to earn something that should have been freely given. And maybe no one has ever said this to you before, but I want to say it to you now. You should not have had to earn safety. You should not have had to earn gentleness. You should not have had to earn being treated with dignity. And you should not have had to twist yourself into someone else's shape just to stay connected to your own mother. And some of you may already know that your mother was abusive. But I also know that some of you may be listening with tears in your eyes because this is the first time you've even let yourself consider that word. Maybe we've just called it family drama, or she's just difficult, or that's just how she is, or we just need to be more understanding. Or maybe you've been trying to convince yourself that it's not that bad. But here's the truth. Your body has been carrying the truth for a long
time, that anxiety that you feel, that dread before you see her, that guilt after you put up a boundary or say no, the shame that rises every time you try to choose yourself for once. The way one interaction can leave you spinning for hours or days or months. That's not nothing. And even right now, if this is stirring something in you, it's okay. You don't need to rush yourself. You don't need to label this today. But I would invite you to get curious about it. Not from a place of blame, but a place of honesty. Because healing starts when we stop asking, am I allowed to feel this way? And we start asking, what is it that my pain is trying to tell me? And this is not just for daughters or women. It's true for boys too, and sons. I work with a lot of women, and I see a lot of this with daughters. And so I'm more familiar with that. But the pain is just the same. So if you're listening to this and you're a son or a nephew or a brother or husband or just someone who grew up with an unsafe mother, then this conversation is for you too. The mother wound is not limited by gender. That ache of not being protected, that grief of not being nurtured, the confusion of loving someone who hurt you. If that's your story, this is for you too. And like I said, we're not here to diagnose anyone. But I do want to talk about the patterns, and I want to talk about the impact. And so sometimes that mother wound looks like criticism. Nothing is ever enough. If you do something well, she's going to find the flaw in it. If you share something exciting, somehow you're going to walk away feeling smaller. If you make a decision and she questions it to the point that you don't trust yourself anymore. Criticism. And sometimes it looks like control. She wants your time, your choices, your body, your parenting, your relationships, your money, your emotions. She wants control of all of those things. And if you try to pull back, then she will make you pay for it. And then sometimes it looks like enmeshment. You were never allowed to be your own person. You became the emotional support system. You became the confidant, the counselor, the one carrying the burdens that never belonged to you. And you know, that does something to a child. It teaches them that love means taking care of other people at the expense of themselves. It teaches them that their worth is tied to how useful they are, how productive. It teaches them that having needs is dangerous if those needs inconvenience the person with more power. And sometimes it looks like competition. And I know that's hard for people to even imagine or wrap your brain around, because mothers are not supposed to compete with their children, but some do. And they compete for attention or for beauty or importance or for control. And then the child learns that being seen or being successful or attractive or confident or joyful or fully themselves comes with a cost. So they learn to shrink, to downplay themselves, to hide, and to apologize for taking up space. And then sometimes it looks like the spiritual manipulation or the religious control. And you're told, well, you need to obey. God said, obey. Or you're told, well, you're supposed to forgive and give people access to you. Or that boundaries are bad or rebellion. Or that your anger is a sin. But her control, right, is just concern. You're told honoring your mother means tolerating whatever she does to you. And let me say this clearly. Hard no. Period. Honoring someone does not mean giving them endless access to harm you. Forgiveness is not the same as trust or access or reconciliation. Compassion is not the same as permission. And being someone's child does not mean you stop belonging to yourself. I know whenever we start talking about mothers, then we want to kind of rush and say, but she did the best she could. And maybe she did. And maybe she didn't. Because some of you had mothers who didn't just make mistakes. Some of you had mothers that were deeply unsafe. And some of you had mothers who protected the abuser. And some of you had mothers who were the abuser. And I know even hearing those words out loud can feel like a punch in the stomach because there's so much pressure to soften it or excuse it or spiritualize it or explain it away. But if your mother consistently manipulated you or shamed you or controlled you or violated your boundaries, or humiliated you, or used you, or harmed you, you are allowed to tell the truth about that. Telling the truth about abuse is not cruelty. Naming harm is not dishonor. And I think some people stay stuck because they're still waiting for permission to call it what it is or what it was. And so if no one has ever told you this, let me be one of the voices that does. If it felt unsafe, if it left you confused and made you feel small, if it taught you to fear your own needs or trained you to betray yourself to keep other people comfortable, then it matters. And maybe today is the day that we can make it matter to you too and stop minimizing the pain that you've endured. And listen, this wound doesn't just stay in childhood. It follows us. A child growing up with an unsafe mother often becomes hyper aware of everyone else's emotions. They learn to scan the room, to manage the mood, to stay small, to keep the peace, to become who they need in order to stay safe. They might become the helper or the peacemaker or the achiever or the invisible one, the funny one, the easy one, the emotional caretaker, the one who never asks for anything. And then that child grows up. And suddenly, so many things in adulthood start to make sense. Right? The person who apologizes for everything. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I used to do that. The person who feels responsible for everyone else's emotions. How exhausting. The person who doesn't even know what they want. You know, it's like, hey, what do you want? I have no idea. What do you like? I have no idea. It's just, you don't even know. The person who can't rest, cannot rest, cannot be still, cannot allow themselves to rest without shaming themselves. The person who overfunctions, does everything, holds the whole world together. The person who keeps proving themselves over and over and over. Or the person who feels guilty every time they set a boundary. Yeah, that's conditioned. I tell my clients, okay, here's your homework. Disappoint people every day. We actually celebrate disappointing people because in some ways that means we're not abandoning ourselves. Or the person who doesn't trust their own gut. That gets cut off when you don't have that safety and you don't have that trust. You're not weak. You're not too much. You're not failing. At adulthood, you've adapted. Your nervous system learned what it needed in order to survive a painful environment. And what helped you survive may be hurting you now. And it doesn't mean you're broken. It just means your body has been trying to protect you for a very long time. And sometimes just realizing that can bring some relief. When you realize, oh, that's why. Oh, I'm not crazy. My body was surviving. I'm not overreacting. My body learned that love and danger could live in the same room. And I'm not broken. I'm grieving. And I'm unlearning. And I'm trying to find my way back to myself. This is the reality of it. Because yes, we can be angry and we can feel confused. We can feel rage. And there can be relief when you finally allow yourself to feel that, or when you finally have language for what's happened. But underneath that is so much grief, deep grief. Because eventually we realize I'm not really grieving the mother that I lost. I'm grieving the mother that I needed and I never had. I'm grieving the mother who would have protected me, which is what you deserve. Who would have believed in me? Oh, this is making me emotional. Because I know so many people that have experienced this. The mother who would have celebrated me instead of competing with me. Oh man, I'm just picturing my women, my clients, and just looking in their eyes and seeing the pain. You deserve to be celebrated. You deserved to be believed. You deserved to be comforted. Grieving the mother who would have taught you that your needs matter. And grieving the mother who would have been safe enough for you to be you and to be fully you. And that's real. And that grief can be so disorienting. And for some of us, we may be talking about someone that's still alive. Maybe someone you still talk to. Maybe someone you still love. Maybe someone you still want. Part of you might still be hoping that she'll finally become who you've needed all along. And that doesn't make you weak. It doesn't make you naive. It doesn't make you pathetic. It makes you human. You're grieving all the energy that you've spent trying to earn love, or the years you lost doubting yourself. And even if your mother's still alive, or if she says she loves you, or if you know she had her own trauma, or if no one knows or understands why you're hurting, I think, one of the hardest realities for many of us is at some point we have to stop waiting for the mother that we needed, and we have to become the mother that we have. And I know that's heartbreaking because many of us spend decades trying to earn love from someone who simply is not capable of loving in a healthy way or chooses not to. And if that's where you are right now, I just want to tell you this. I see you. That ache makes sense. That grief makes sense. That confusion makes sense. And, right? And you are allowed to have boundaries. You are allowed to protect your peace. You're allowed to say no. You're allowed to stop explaining yourself over and over. You're allowed to limit access. You're allowed to cut off access. You're allowed to end conversations that become abusive. You're allowed to not answer the phone or the text. You are allowed to protect yourself. And I'm not saying that boundaries are easy, especially when you've been conditioned to believe that protecting yourself makes you a bad person or a bad child, or when guilt has been used to just keep you on a leash, or when fear has been used to control you, making you fearful. Or when love has always come with strings attached. Of course, boundaries feel hard. Because if love came with guilt, then saying no feels terrifying. Boundaries are not punishment, they're honesty, they're clarity, they're self-respect. Boundaries are for you. So, what about healing? I know we've talked about a lot today, but healing doesn't start with hating your mother. I'm not saying to hate your mother. Healing starts with telling the truth. It starts with naming your reality. It starts with paying attention to your body and what your body is telling you. It starts with noticing where you tend to still abandon yourself in order to keep the peace. And grieving what you didn't get. Letting yourself be angry without shaming yourself for it. And learning that your needs matter. Your needs are not selfish. And healing often looks like reparenting. Often what I do with my clients early on is I have them bring in pictures of themselves as a little girl. And we will just start looking at those pictures and getting reacquainted and letting our hearts reconnect to that little girl, because she was just a little girl that needed to be loved. Just a child. Just a little boy that needed to be loved. And we get to become the parent that she needed. And that comes by learning how to speak to her differently, how to speak to yourself differently, how to actually offer comfort to yourself, protection to yourself, restoring that trust in you, in your gut, and learning that you don't have to earn love through performance or perfection or self-abandonment. And learning how to become safe for yourself. But it's really listening and paying attention and noticing when that inner voice in you, you know, maybe starts to sound like that criticism or that humiliation or that familiar voice from your mother, and choosing something different and choosing to talk to yourself in a different way. And when that wounded part of you speaks up and says, "This hurts," rather than turning a blind eye and running to something else, we turn around and we look her in the eye and we say, "I see you and I care." And we can start checking in with ourselves. What do I need right now? And it can look like learning to sit with yourself in your own sadness and make it matter. Your sadness makes sense. And your sadness matters. And for you to sit with yourself and that little girl within you and say it matters to you, that's what she needs. And learning to believe your body and care for it. And when your body says no, you trust it. But we got to be reconnected to our body to even hear that. And I also want to say this, because I think this is a really important part of healing, is we don't heal in isolation. Sometimes healing happens in therapy, or sometimes it happens with support groups or safe friendships or in rooms where people finally look at you and say, "That was not okay." I've had some of my coaching groups when one of the ladies will share something like their parent told them they were stupid or something. And then you see the anger rise up. And we just are like, no, that's so fucked up. for your mom to say that to you. That wasn't okay. You're not crazy. You're not making this up. You don't have to let people talk to you that way. And you certainly don't have to believe them. And sometimes when someone else gets angry on your behalf, and they almost become like, in that moment, the parent you didn't have. And they're speaking on your behalf and they're saying, you matter. And if you've never had that before, if you've never had someone gently remind you of the truth without shaming you, then that can be a really powerful experience. Because an important part of healing is not just understanding what happened, but it's about having a corrective experience, having a different experience. You know how we talk about how we're harmed in relationship, but we're also healed in relationship. And so being with safe people matters. And listen, if you've never experienced this before, come to one of my groups. We're doing this the whole time. And your growth matters. Those small steps that you take towards yourself and towards your healing, we're here to celebrate it with you. You're not alone in that either. We truly are better and stronger together. You know, if this episode has just kind of stirred something in you, which I'm sure for many it has, there's nothing wrong with telling the truth about your story or grieving the mother that you needed and didn't have. And it may be the beginning of your healing. Because like I said, healing isn't about punishing your mother. It's about finally stopping the punishment of yourself. And if you're listening and this is hitting close to home, I just say pay attention to that. You're not wrong. You're not crazy. You're not weak. You're not too sensitive. You're not selfish or needy or disloyal for protecting yourself. And you're not alone. If there's a part of you that's still just angry, I see you. It matters. It's okay. If part of you is just still confused or still hoping or still trying to make sense of what happened, I see you too, boo. And maybe that's where we begin. Not with having the answers or setting the perfect boundaries or knowing exactly what to call it, but simply by telling the truth. So listen, I know this is a tender subject. And I know that a lot of people are going through this right now. And many people are going through it alone. So I just want you to know you're not alone. If you've resonated with this and you need a group, you need a safe place, you need a safe community, come to Reclaiming You. I have the Monday night group in Lafayette, and then I have the Wednesday night group across the world, because I don't want anyone going through this alone. And when this kind of pain comes from your mom, it is such a unique, deeply painful experience. And sometimes just being across the room from someone else that understands or gets it or experienced the same thing can significantly remove that aloneness for you. So remember, you matter. Your voice matters. Your story matters. Your pain matters. Your healing matters. Your dreams matter. And most importantly, you matter. Your pain matters, your story matters, and you're not that girl anymore.
Hey, friend, just a quick note. I am a licensed therapist, but this podcast isn't therapy. It's not meant to diagnose or treat anything. It's here to offer you support, encouragement, and real conversation. If you're struggling, please reach out to a trusted professional. You are not alone, and you are so worthy of healing. Even if your voice shakes, keep using it. Your healing matters. If you're ready to go deeper, you can book a session by clicking the link in the show notes or visiting our website, embraceyourbrave.org, to learn more about our therapy and trauma-informed coaching options. Let's explore how we can walk this journey together. You are not alone. Embrace your brave, sis. You're not that girl anymore.